All right, I'm recording.
Okay.
And we've run some stories on the state budget overall, but haven't really looked at how Western Illinois might benefit from it. Can you give us an idea how your district might benefit from this budget?
Well, really what we tried to do with the budget under really difficult situations was try to not cut any really vital programs any more than we had to, basically trying to hold everybody level to last year's funding numbers. So, for example, K through 12 education is going to be at the same level funding to last year. Now, that's not ideal. We would have liked to have seen some additional money, but certainly that's better than some of the earlier forecasts that we're going to see some pretty drastic cuts. Higher education, basically level funding to last year as well. So, if you look at education in its totality, the fact that we were able to avoid any cuts to those programs certainly was, I think, a win. If you look at some of the human services programs, the Medicaid-type programs, DCFS and so on, once again, pretty much level funding for those programs as well. So the fact that we avoided some really drastic, what could have been some drastic cuts, given the fact that the revenue, we're certainly dealing with a shortage of revenue from the current year, and so to be able to accomplish that, I think, was a good thing.
Do you see lawmakers coming back after the November election to talk about extending the income tax increase or doing something else to generate some revenue?
So we always come back after the election for our fall veto session anyway. So we have 2 weeks scheduled in. 1 week in November, I think 1 week in December, I believe. But anyway, 2 weeks in the fall. And that's to take up vetoed bills. But we can also take up other action. And quite honestly, Rich, I think that what happens with the possible extension of the temporary income tax is going to be based on who wins the governor's race in November. We have two individuals, one that has supported making the temporary tax permanent. The other one who has said, no, we don't need to do that. We can balance this budget in other ways. And so I think over the course of the next, several months leading up to the November election, and then whoever wins that election is really going to determine what direction the state goes.
Couldn't the Democratic-controlled legislature still pass it in November and have it signed by Quinn, even if he loses in November, or have him sign it before he leaves office in January?
Yes, absolutely. That could happen. I would just be surprised that would happen. If Governor Quinn loses in November and Mr. Rauner is the governor-elect, I can't really see the General Assembly passing an income tax extension, making it permanent, and then given the new governor the ability to spend that money when he has said, no, I don't believe that the temporary tax needs to be made permanent. I just can't see the General Assembly doing it. I think that what they would say, okay, now you're the governor. Let's hear what your plan is as to how to balance this budget.
Have you heard anything about what his plan might be?
No. No. As a matter of fact, there's certainly been a lot of discussion, at least amongst the political pundits, as to the fact that he has not given any kind of a plan as to how he would balance the budget or where he would make cuts or if he was going to raise some revenue, where that would come from. As a matter of fact, he's even backtracked from some of what he had said earlier during the primary. So, and certainly I think there's a lot of folks that are putting pressure on him to say, you can't just say, we're going to solve this after the, after the election. I think folks need to know where he stands on these issues. But really, he has not been forthcoming on that.
What are your thoughts on just the state's revenue structure? Would you like to see substantive changes made to the way Illinois generates revenue?
So if you're referring to like the graduated income tax, for example, that's one thing that we certainly spent quite a bit of time talking about in Springfield during this past session. Illinois right now has a flat income tax. Many other states that have income taxes do it on a graduated scale based on the income. The more income you make, the more tax you pay. For example, Iowa's rates go from 2% all the way up to, I think, to 9%. So they have a very multi-level, multi-layered graduated tax in Iowa. And certainly our constitution here in Illinois says that we will have a flat tax. And the only way that it could be changed would be through an amendment to the by changing our constitution. Senator Don Harmon had a bill that would have allowed for that question to be on the ballot in November. Would you, the voter, be in favor of making the tax graduated here in Illinois, but could not get the support to pass it? So that's not going to be something we're going to see on the ballot, but I certainly think it's something that we need to take a look at. I mean, there's certainly been discussions on other revenue of expanding our sales tax base to charge sales tax, for example, on some services. Every state around us, literally every state around us, has a much broader sales tax base than we do here in Illinois. So that's something I think that definitely could be looked at. There's also Illinois is maybe one of just one or two states that does not charge income tax on retiree income. And so there has been some discussion about that, obviously not very favorable but I think if we looked at it, there's a way to protect some of the lower income folks as opposed to, those that are have a, much higher income tax.
You have a feeling for when we might get a court ruling on the legal challenges to the pension system overhaul?
You know, a lot of speculation on it. So as you well know, there was legislation passed last year. It was, I think there are now five cases, lawsuits that have been filed against that. They have been now combined into one case in the courts. But most people that I have talked to do not think we're probably going to see anything until late this year and possibly even longer. They're the courts just don't move very fast sometimes, and they certainly do their due diligence on it. I would hope that we would see something here before the end of the year, but we just don't know.
The Capitol bill passed right at the end of the legislative session. Are there projects included in that, or is this simply a funding mechanism? What all is included with that?
So it's a $1.1 billion road and bridge only capital bill, and it's basically the list of projects is the list that IDOT had put together by road district around the state of Illinois. So IDOT puts together a five-year road plan for each of the districts. And so IDOT took that list and those projects that were at the top of the list that were basically shovel-ready projects are the ones that are going to get funded through this program.
And your Senate district, what would that include?
Well, I don't have a list here in front of me, but certainly one item that is, I think very, very important to the region here is Simicone Bypass. There is funding there will be funding in the capital bill to complete the structures of all four lanes on the Macomb Bypass, so all the bridge structures and overpasses, and then also the money to actually lay the concrete asphalt for two lanes of traffic. So it will open the bypass. It won't be four lanes. It's enough to do the two lanes plus the structures for all four lanes. It's about a $32 to $34 million project. There's also numerous other smaller projects for Highway 67 and Highway 9 and Highway, county highways and many other bridges across the district. But again, these have been programmed into IDOT's 5-year plan.
Highway 34 in Henderson County?
Nope, there's not any additional money for that. We're still working on the Biggsville bypass on Highway 34, but no new money for construction of another portion of that highway at this point in time. That's probably going to have to come in a larger capital bill. And again, it wasn't ready. It wasn't really a shovel-ready project. It was part of the problem. They still have land acquisition and engineering to do on some of the sections of 34. So we need to, there's some additional work needs to be done before we're kind of ready for the dozers and the asphalt to hit.
And for the Macomb Bypass, that's just for the northwest half of it?
Yeah, so from 136 southwest edge of town, around the west side, around to the north side, and up to 67. Mm-hmm. So that's where the construction's going on right now. The dirt work is basically done. It's very, very close to being finished there. Not totally, but it's we're getting real close. So that's why I was really pleased to be able to get this additional money in the capital bill, because really we're ready for the next phase. It just would have when you see it, the dirt work done, and then have to sit there for a period of time, whether it's 6 months or a year or several years, that's very disheartening. So it's really I'm really pleased that we're able to get some money in the capital bill for that project.
Are you concerned at all that they'll do two lanes and just leave it at that?
No. I mean, yes and no. I just think that there's going to be enough pressure from all communities here in Western Illinois, but especially from Macomb, to go ahead and finish the project. And I think it's very important for your listeners to know that all the structures for four lanes will be included in this next phase. And so that's obviously, you can imagine how important that is, because then it's a matter of finding the additional revenue then to do the actual laying the asphalt and doing the concrete work. And that's a big project, don't get me wrong, but I just feel pretty confident that the pressure will be kept on all of us to make sure that project's completed.
Will that have to come from the state, or is there a possibility of federal money to perhaps help finish that off?
Well, certainly there's no federal money that is available right now. Now, if the feds do another highway bill that would allow some money to be earmarked or matching money for projects in the states, obviously that's something that we'd be very interested in. But really right now there is no federal dollars available for that project.
You are not up for election this year, so what will you be doing for the next few months?
Well, I have 11 counties, and quite honestly, I've neglected them over the last month or 2 months here because of session in Springfield. So I have a full-time office here in Macomb, and of course a full-time office in Quincy, and then I do a satellite office in Galesburg, and just going to be spending time meeting with constituents, visiting communities, to listening to folks about different issues that they want to talk to me about. As a matter of fact, we asked all three of my offices, one here in Macomb and Quincy, and also the office in Springfield, and I said, put together a list of all the folks that have asked for appointments and that want to sit down and meet, and let's make that happen here over the next couple of weeks. So we've started that process already.
Yeah, your district has changed geographically somewhat over the past few years from what you had. Do you feel like you're getting to know the newer communities in your district and what some of the issues are there?
Yeah, and it didn't change drastically, but the biggest change would be Knox County, a portion of Knox County, and, of course, a portion of Galesburg, kind of from Main Street south in Galesburg. And so I've spent as much time in Galesburg as I possibly can. I need to spend more time there. But some of the other communities up there of Abingdon and St. Augustine and some of those communities as well, just trying to get out and meet folks and find out what their issues are that's on their mind. It's kind of with Galesburg, it's interesting because they have now representation from four legislators. So Senator Darren LaHood, mm-hmm, and myself on the Senate side, and Don Moffitt and Noreen Hammond on the House side, which really makes I think the folks in Galesburg have found that we're all very responsive to the needs of the community. So they can't just call up two people now. They can actually call up four. And the four of us have worked very well together on a lot of issues there in Galesburg.
Were there any ag-related bills of interest passed this year?
There was probably the most yes, there was, and maybe the one that your listeners have heard about was that allowed bears, wolves, and cougars,
mountain lions,
yes, to be a part of the Department of Natural Resources, and I can't think of the list that they are now going to be to be added to, but
they protected species. They're not endangered.
They're not endangered. I believe it is a protected species, uh-huh, Rich, and I don't have that information. It's been a little while, but it would allow those three animals to be basically the Department of Natural Resources feels that these animals will be expanding and growing into Illinois. They have a little bit already, but that could happen over a period of time. And the department wanted the ability to regulate these animals. If they become overpopulated, if there's problems, they needed this designation so that they could control these animals. So if we did nothing, it would have been up to the federal government. They probably would have put them on a protected species act, or they would have fallen under that act at the federal level, and then it would have taken it out of our hands. We would have had the ability that if we need to trap them, if we need to hunt them, that we could do that if they get to the point where they're a nuisance.
All right. Nothing regarding CAFOs or anything like that?
Nope. No, there really was nothing with regard to livestock. No changes there at the Department of Ag.
All right. Anything else you want to touch on?
There was a lot of discussion about the increasing the minimum wage in Illinois. Senator Kim Lightford, who is a WIU grad, was pushing for an increase to go to $10.65 an hour over the course of several years. But there was not the support to do that. And so what kind of as a, I don't know, a fallback, if you will, is that there will be a question on the ballot in November, just asking the voters whether they would be supportive of increasing the minimum wage. So it's a non-binding question that will be on the ballot in November. So that's something that certainly there's been a lot of discussion about it, you know, pro and con on both sides of the issue. But this is something that will allow the voters to have their input into it. It doesn't say that we have to do anything, but certainly it would allow us to gauge the interest of the public.
There are a few referenda going on the ballot for this fall, statewide issues. Do you see that as maybe being a way legislators deal with things when they're stalemated, is to put it to a vote, even a non-binding vote of the people, just to get a feel for what the public opinion is?
Yeah, I do. And I think it allows I think some of the questions that will be asked will be the different questions that are on the ballot are going to be very helpful to me as a legislator to see what my district thinks about some of these issues. And it's one of those amendments, constitutional amendments, that's going to be on the ballot that I would like to talk about and let the voters know. And it deals with term limits for legislators. Now, people have their opinion as to whether that should or should not happen, and I'll certainly go by whatever the voters say. But there's also included in that question with regard to term limits for legislators is that the Senate – The members of the Senate in Illinois will be decreased from 59 to 41. Well, I already represent the largest district in the state of Illinois. As I said earlier, 11 counties. It's about 6,000 square miles. If we reduce from 59 to 41 the number of Senate districts in Illinois, this district is going to even – it's going to be, you know, what, 15 or 20 counties, I guess. I know how hard it is to represent 11 counties right now. I couldn't imagine that district growing bigger and trying to represent even additional counties, number one. But the other big concern I have is that it would further consolidate power into the more heavily populated areas of the state, which in Illinois, as we all know, is Chicago and the suburbs. So the number of downstate districts, not only will it decrease because of the reduced number of districts, but it's also going to decrease because of population. And so I think we're going to have – we as downstate areas of the state will have even a lesser voice than we have right now. So I think folks – you know, it's one thing to just say, oh, I support, you know, term limits. That's fine. People have a right to their opinions. But I think it's important that they understand that in addition to that question on that same ballot question is that they understand that the number of Senate districts will be reduced.
Well, would the House districts be reduced also?
They actually increase, but only by three.
Mm-hmm.
So there will be three additional House districts, but, you know, a pretty significant drop in the number of Senate districts. And then also on that same question is that right now it takes a 3/5 vote to override a veto. The ballot, this ballot question also raises that from 3/5 to 2/3. So it even makes it, it would further consolidate power into the governor's office. And I just don't think that's something that we need. The question, I think the average person would say, well, why didn't they just put term limits on the ballot as a question? That has already been debated in the courts, and the courts have said that have found that term limits are
unconstitutional.
I'm not sure what their reason was, but they said that they were unconstitutional. So what the proponents have said, well, we're going to put it, make it a multi-part question and incorporate these other two areas in addition to the term limits, and maybe that'll help it meet the constitutional question.
Okay.
That's why they were added on.
All right. Hey, thanks for your time.
Rich, good to visit with you.
All right.